been a good day. Appreciate brother's prayer a while ago. It has been a good last couple of days. Wouldn't it be great if every day was sunshiny and not 114 when it is? Probably do need to remember, although they haven't asked for this, remember Brother Sam in your prayers. He's on some Mucinex right now, and that's never good when you have those things, and you sure don't want it to get any worse. So remember Elaine, probably more than Sam, in your prayer. She says, thank you very much. So remember them as well. If you have your Bibles this evening, please turn to book of 1 Peter. We'll start in 1 Peter here in just a moment. I hope tonight's lesson goes well. I don't do things like this very often, but I don't have the opportunity very often anymore to do things like this, so we're going to do something maybe a little bit different this evening. We're going to talk about God's refining fire. God's refining fire. F-I-R-E. I said fire, you know. It's like fire, fire. God's refining fire. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, Malachi writes, he says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, he will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. And that's the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. In the book of 1 Peter is written to first century Christians who were enduring suffering. They were going through various trials. They were going through various things that we in this country don't go through. However, there are professing Christians in the nations, modern-day nations of Pakistan and India, that profess to be Christians, that they lose their life on a monthly basis. Not on a daily, not on a weekly, but on a monthly basis. There are Christians throughout the world who profess to be followers of Jesus, who lose their lives because of that belief system, belief in the worldview, belief in God's word and not in a world religion. Thankfully, in our country, we don't have that. But Peter talks about the refining fire as well as Malachi. In chapter 1, verses 7 and following, Peter writes, he says, your faith, which is more precious than gold, which perishes, being proved by fire, or basically being refined by fire. You have been tested that you might be found in the praise and glory and honor at the disclosure or at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love him whom you have not seen. You believe in him who you do not see. And you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If you continue on and you look down in verse 11, he starts with the sufferings. In verse 11, the Bible is talking about the sufferings of Christ as had been predicted and prophesied. If you go on over to chapter 2, verse 20, Peter writes, he says, but this is being gracious before God, if when you do, you suffer for it and you endure patiently. He's talking about being a Christian and suffering as a Christian. Verse 21, you are called for this because Christ also suffered for your sake, leaving that example that you should follow in his footsteps or in his steps. He continues on in chapter 3, verse 18, because Christ also once suffered for your sins, the just for the unjust, that he might lead you to God. That's why Jesus came, to prepare that path for us to go to God. Notice that just for the unjust. A lot of times when you talk about sufferings, what comes to mind is Job. Unfortunately, it comes to my mind a lot because I've taught it now. I'm about as depressed as Job is after two quarters of this. But one of the things about the book of Job didn't suffer because he was bad, as all his friends came to tell him. He suffered because he was good. And Jesus, the just, suffered in our place for us. In chapter 4, verse 1, Peter goes on with this thought process. He says, since Christ suffered in the flesh, equip yourselves with the same insight, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, he says, you know, if you're going to suffer like Christ, you can put on Christ as that example. You can continue on your Christian walk. You know, you understand the Christian walk once you've started to suffer. And continues on in chapter 4, verse 13. But as you share Christ's sufferings as a Christian, you're going to share some things as being following the example of Christ. Rejoice that at the revelation of his splendor, you may overflow with joy. And he continues on in verse 14. If you are reviled for Christ's name, you are blessed because of God's glorious spirit rests on you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody. But if as a Christian you suffer, do not be ashamed. And yet let him praise God in that name. We're going to save the one in chapter 5. But it's chapter 5, verse 10 that we'll come to and we'll end our lesson with. Christian suffering. God's refining fire. What does that do for me? What am I going to go through? How does that discipline me as a Christian, and how does it change me? There's 5 points, and they're going to be short. I know you're thinking, yeah, I'm sure they'll be short. The very first point comes from James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. Part of that God's refining fire is to test our faith. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a story about a silversmith. See, when silversmiths start working with silver, they bring the silver to a boil. And I know you're thinking, Gafford, you spend a lot of time at silversmith school, right? No. But I can read what they do. And they bring the silver to a molten state. And in that molten state, the silver, unlike gold, the impurities come up and the silversmith has to take them out. So when a silversmith starts working with a piece of silver to take out the impurities, he never leaves it. He's always looking for that impurity to come out so he can take it out of the silver so that the silver will be pure. Remember that part of the story. That's going to be our close as well. In James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 4, James writes, "My brethren, my brothers, my sisters, consider it all joy when you fall into various temptations and trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its complete work in you, that you may be made complete and entire, lacking nothing." You know, Ann and I, shame she's not here tonight, she'd enjoy this lesson a lot. You know, I've said many times, I there was a point in my life I just prayed for health, because every time I prayed for patience, what did I get? I got a problem to learn patience. Every time I prayed for something, I received what I prayed for, all right. And I finally got to the point, maybe I just need to pray for health. I don't think there's any downside to that. Till your knee goes out, right? So now I have it back. God's refining fire. It tests our faith. But the reason it tests our faith is for the salvation of our souls. It tests our faith to make us complete and whole. In other words, I can never be what I need to become for God until I go through some things. Everybody that's been here that is of any age has been through some things that they wish they hadn't had to go through. And if you're here tonight and you haven't been through any of those things yet, consider yourself lucky. And know this, they're coming. Because it's the way of the world. James says, count it joy. I've never counted it joy when I go through bad times. But I can get through the bad times when I recognize that they're there for a reason. And the reason that they're there is God wants me to be a better person. He wants me to be a better Christian. And for that, I can have joy. Because I know that the Father is still working on me. There's a little song that we used to teach the kids. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And he's still working on us all. So when this next week, as we go through life as it happens to us, think about it like this. Yes, I'm going through this moment. I'm going through this suffering. I'm going through this trial. I'm going through this test. And I'm not standing up singing, be happy. But there's an end to it. God's still working on me. And because he's working on me, I know I'm his son. I know I'm his. Because what he wants for me and for you, in accordance with 1 Peter 1 and James 1, is completeness, wholeness. And we can have joy in that the Father's still working on us. You know, as a coach, there's a lot of times that Lindy's like, yeah, well, Coach Gafford don't like me. He's always yelling at me. Lindy never said that. He said that he's always yelling at me, but he never said Coach Gafford don't like me. You know, when they really knew, it's when Coach Gafford is not yelling at you, when Coach Gafford is not with you in the weight room, when Coach Gafford is not working on you to make you better, that's when you know Coach Gafford gave up on you. So if God's still working on you, he still cares about you, and he still loves you, and he still wants you to be complete. So know that when your faith is tested, there's a joy in it. Number two, God's refining fire prepares our heart so that we can comfort other people. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 2 Corinthians should be there somewhere. Let's see, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 3 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, there it is, chapter 1. Verses 3 and following. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. For he comforts us in our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble by the comfort through which we ourselves have been comforted by God. As the sufferings of Christ increase in us, so our comfort increases through Christ. You know, you may be going through what you're going through because someday you're going to help somebody else go through the same thing. You may be going through what you're going through right now, or your family, or your health, or whatever it may be, so that one day someone that you care about, maybe it's a granddaughter, maybe it's a grandson, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a spouse, they're going through those same things, that you can comfort someone else. It prepares our heart to be a minister, to be a servant to someone else that's going through bad times. You know, when Job's friends showed up to tell him where he went wrong, he says, what miserable comforters are you all? Why? Because they couldn't grasp what he was going through. They could see it, but they couldn't comfort him. Why? Because they hadn't been through it. So if you've gone through something that is a life-changing event, or just out of the ordinary, realize that maybe that's in your life so that you can help someone else, that you can comfort them. Number three, God's refining fire humbles us before God. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 and following, the Apostle Paul He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's already talked to them about the comforting, and he's already given his main body his address in chapters 4 and 5. And when he gets to chapter 12, it's a verse that we're all familiar with. It's that messenger that Satan sent him, that thorn in the flesh. And in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 5 and following, realize that God's refining fire keeps us humble before God. Paul says, I will boast on my behalf of such a man, but I will not boast on my own behalf except in my weakness. However, if I wish to boast, I would not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But if I refrain, so that no one will think me above what he sees in me, or what he hears about me, even the excellencies of the revelations, that I might not be arrogant. A thorn in the flesh, an agent of Satan, or a messenger of Satan, was given to torment me, so that I might not be arrogant. You know, there's a lot of people that tell you what they know what the thorn in the flesh was. The scripture doesn't say. You know, your opinion is just as good as anybody else's, and I, for one, I'm glad it doesn't say, because everyone can relate then to what Paul's going through. He says, something was sent to me to keep me humble, to not let me be arrogant. I begged the Lord 3 times about this, that it might leave me. But he told me, my grace is sufficient for you, it's enough for you, because strength reaches completion in weakness. That's McCord's translation. Basically, that's a lot of long words to say what's up is now. God's glory can be manifest when we're weak. But when it's all about us and it's about what I can do, there's no room for God's glory. So it can't be about us. The Hebrew writer says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and in due time He will lift you up. Sing a song like that. Well, why? So that we don't become more than what we think we are. And I guarantee you, each one of us, we're more than what we think we are. Because Christ died for us. He died for the salvation of our souls. But not just ours, the whole world. So we can't be so arrogant about it that I have my salvation, you go get your own. No. We have to put two and two together and say, hey, how can I help Sister Mary down in Houston? Well, I can't go to Houston, I have a job. But I sure can remember her and her son in prayers. I sure can see if she needs anything. God's refining fire keeps us humble. Should keep us humble before Him. Hebrews the 12th chapter, verse 5, point number 4. God's refining fire disciplines us. This is a verse that we're familiar with as well. The Bible reads in the book of Hebrews, part way through verse 5, it says, my son, do not think lightly of the Lord's discipline, and do not give up when you're corrected by Him. For the Lord loves those whom He disciplines. If He's still working on you, guess what? He's still disciplining you. He's still working on that refining fire. You see, a lot of times, sometimes the things that we're going through, they're sent to us by Satan. You get that? But sometimes the discipline comes from the hand of the Lord. Don't think too much of yourself. Don't be arrogant. Don't make the Lord use Satan as a ploy to discipline us, or to myself or you, or whoever it may be. We don't need to be arrogant before God. We need to accept the Lord's correction, His discipline. And He chastises every son whom He receives. Endure discipline. God is treating you as sons. What son is there whom a father does not discipline? If you are without discipline, of which you are partakers, you are illegitimate, not sons at all. After all, the fleshly fathers disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be submissive to the Father of spirits and live? They indeed did it for a few days. Talking about the earthly fathers. For a few days they disciplined us as they thought best. As they thought best. God knows all. Think about that. If our earthly father disciplined us as he thought best, how much greater is it when our Heavenly Father disciplines us because he knows exactly what to do? He disciplines us as they thought best, but God for our profit, that he might partake, that we might partake of his purity. Purity. Without spot, without blemish, without bad ingredients, without improprieties, but pure. See, God's refining fire is there to make us pure before him. We have no righteousness of ourselves, only righteousness in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21. That's where we have righteousness from. It comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from ourselves. But God disciplines us that we might partake of his purity. God wants us to be a pure people. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Last point. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. I know we was in 2 Corinthians a lot. God's refining fire gives us an eternal perspective. Chapter 4, verses 16 and following. Paul writes, "Therefore, do not be discouraged, for though our outer man is wearing out, our inner man is being renewed daily. For a momentary and light suffering, light affliction, continues to work for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. But we continue to look not at things which are visible, but at the things which are invisible or not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen or invisible are eternal." Lastly, God's refining fire gives us an eternal perspective. And without that eternal perspective, we can't figure out where we are in time, where we are temporally. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to go through things in our life? But we live in a fallen world. The fallen world means we're going to go through some things. But we can be thankful that the refiner's fire is there for us because it's there to make us better. It's there to make us complete. It's there for our salvation. I said we'd finish up in 2 Peter, the 5th chapter, and we will right here. 2 Peter 5:10. If you have a highlighter, you might want to highlight this or write it down, study it later. "After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal splendor in Christ Jesus, will himself complete or make you perfect, support or perfect, support, strengthen, and establish you." You see, if we go through this time, there are things that we go through. We go through them for our benefit, maybe sometimes so we can benefit others, to comfort us, as to comfort other people. But there's an end process, as we already read. It's for the purpose of our salvation. It's so that we will be perfect, complete, and be what we need to be in God. All right, Herschel, come on down. Like I said, I don't do this very often. But I think Herschel don't even know what I'm doing here. This is a silver, plated silver, right? It's a plated silver Christmas tray. And I know it's a Christmas tray because that's the only time I see it at my house. Has cookies on it at Christmas. And it also has dents on it right now, and that's probably from Bonnie hitting me over the head with it. Probably some more dents in it along a while here. But I'm going to ask Herschel a question here. I'm going to hold it up and let him answer this. Herschel, what do you see?
A reflection of myself.
Thank you.
Yeah,
There'll be a Taco Bueno Denny's coupon for you in the foyer. Taco Casa here, right? A reflection of myself. You see, in God's refining fire, you know, I told you about the silversmith, that once he starts working with the silver, he never leaves it. He makes it molten. He looks into it. He takes out the impurities, puts the impurities aside. And when he can see the reflection of himself, say, "You're the silver. I'm the silver." But when he can see the reflection of himself, he knows that he's done. God's refining fire is a wonderful thing. It's a deep thing. It's a thing that we need to embrace, although it's not a thing that we want to embrace. Herschel, you couldn't have picked better words. Because that's what God wants to see in us. Himself. Someone that cares about others. Someone that loves others. Someone that wants the best for others. That's so hard in this world. And that's why we have impurities that God works on every day. Hope the message has blessed you tonight. Terry's picked the invitation song, 800. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus went through that refining fire as well. Just for the unjust. Good thing about Jesus is, Jesus had no impurities. See, we have them. And we need them removed from us. So when we go through that trial, when we go through that fire, when we go through that test, whatever you go through, it's not joyous at the time that you're going through it. But if you think about it, there's joy at the end. Because God's still working on me. He wants me, for some reason, to learn this lesson. Will I learn it? And if I learn it, will I apply it? And if I apply it, will I use it? And am I going to use it for others? Because God desperately wants to see a reflection of us, Himself in us, on a daily basis. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, whatever your needs may be this hour, please make them known while together we stand and while we sing.